T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's OMF on EEI.
Well, let's start with the draft, Greeny. I think when we talk about their strategy and their approach, they're all in right now on the draft quarterbacks. They tipped us off by attending Trevor Lawrence's pro day. They have no shot at Trevor Lawrence. They pick 15th overall in the draft. So why are they there? They want the most thorough evaluation of the entire class. So when they get to the draft and they start thinking more about strategy, they can make a determination. Do we want to trade up a little bit? Do we want to stand pat like we did in 2014 and Jimmy Garoppolo fell to us?
That is Mike Reese on Get Up saying that the Patriots are all in on these young kids. I hate to say it, but I remember this in the past where they would go out there and do all of the research on those quarterbacks. And as we know, the history, they don't draft them in the first round. And the reason they would do it is because they want to know some insight. Because when this kid is playing for the Chargers or the Buffalo Bills or whatever, they have a little bit of a book on them, right? They've always done this in the past. I'm not sure this is a change of policy in what they're doing. I don't read it that suddenly they're going to get active and draft one of these kids at the top of the first round.
I just think it's a way to compare. If you're looking at the rest of this class, you know, and obviously you're watching film, but to see it in person and to see what the clear number one option is in Trevor Lawrence, you have no shot at Trevor Lawrence. He's going number one. But compare the rest of the class to what everybody thinks is the clear favorite to go number one.
Yeah, that could be.
And you might find out that a couple of these kids, you might like Trey Lance, you might like Zach Wilson, and say, you know what, he's really not that much different than this kid Lawrence. There's a lot of hype for Lawrence, but when I watch him play, because I just watched Lawrence work out, this kid's workout was pretty similar. And now all of a sudden you start liking the kid and reason to move up and trade at 4, 5, 6, 7, yep, whatever he could be.
All right, to the phone calls we go. We kick it off with Albert in Rhode Island. I'm charitable today. Albert!
What a surprise.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up, Albert?
You make me laugh, especially you, Lou. I mean, it's like it's the biggest dope. I mean, you know, you guys think that you need to try to move the entire planet because you had an awful quarterback this year who wasn't really a quarterback. Garoppolo, second-round pick, successful. Brady, sixth-round pick, pretty successful. Bad Castle, bagger, pretty successful. Jacoby Brissett even won a football game without throwing the ball. You don't need to move the earth to get a quarterback who can function. You just happen to have a quarterback this year who can't think, throw, or really even move anymore. So that's what you got. And you still won 7 games. A regular coach wins 2. Like, you guys are... You know,
so, Albert, so hold on, Albert. Hold on, girls. Albert. I want to jump on board. So you're saying...
No, because he's an idiot.
So you're saying... Well, hold on. It's it's okay. So hold on. So you're saying that the whole Lou Maloney plan of moving up and being aggressive to go draft a quarterback inside the top 10 is... unnecessary.
Because you can just wait for Brady. Agreed. Grab a quarterback at 199, you can still win, right? Albert, like you can go get Matt Castle in that 6th, 7th round, and he's already proven you could still win. I mean, because Brissett's really good. I think you can win Super Bowls. There's no question. Right?
You didn't win 11 games with Castle and should have went to the playoffs? You weren't good with Garoppolo? That you were good? Tom Brady was a 6th round pick. You weren't good there? That didn't work out?
No, I didn't. It didn't work out.
That wasn't
Albert,
good?
Okay, again,
no?
If you're using... If you sit there and say you don't have to trade up to go get a good quarterback because of what the Patriots did in 2000 with Tom Brady.
Multiple times. They show
multiple times with
they
who?
They don't need to go up. They've had success with multiple quarterbacks who weren't top 10.
Jacoby Brissett is so good. Jacoby Brissett is so good that the Indianapolis Colts, who thought they were ready to win, went out and brought in Phillip Rivers. And now Jacoby Brissett's a free agent.
I missed all that success.
And Jacoby Brissett. Look, Jacoby Brissett. What is Jacoby Brissett going to get you? Like, what is the goal for Bill Belichick? Does everybody think? Because I kept hearing, like, Brady goes down, doesn't win a Super Bowl. It's a failure. Got to win a Super Bowl. Well, I said, what if he makes the playoffs? Nope, failure. All of a sudden, now it's a success if Bill can just take you back to the postseason for the next 3 or 4 years? Whatever happened to Super Bowl or bust? Oh, is it different rules for Brady? But if Bill could just get you back to 10-6 and get you in the postseason, that's it? Then fine. Live in mediocrity. Go grab your most mediocre quarterback. Bill can get you to 10-6. No question about it. You'll never see a Super Bowl ever again.
They've lowered their standards.
Ever.
I can tell you that. Here's John
and Bill, apparently.
Here's John and Dighton. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. So, highlight of my life, not getting married, not having kids, following Albert in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, what a trip. Did your
mother ever send you back all your Mother's Day presents?
Oh, seriously. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I don't know, guys, you know.
All right, what's up, John?
A couple of points. First one is, you know, those percentages we were talking about. You guys were talking about with the quarterbacks and how many have reached the Super Bowl. I think one thing we've got to chat about or make the point of is that, you know, Tom Brady's been here the last 20 years, right? So 40% of those Super Bowls were carried by Tom Brady. You know, he won 40% of those Super Bowls the last 20 years. So I think part of that, you take that away, and then the numbers aren't so crazy. It's like my second point, you guys can chat after that, but mm-hmm. My second point is, you know, what Lou's saying, like, go out and get a quarterback. It'll give you some leeway a little bit. We're not going to go, you know, 15-1. Trade the farm, go up and get one of the top two or three quarterbacks. The fans will give you a couple of years of something to be excited about. Like, it'd be nice, something different. Like, go after it.
I do believe you're right, John, that the fans would be excited on draft night. I'll guarantee you these phones will be packed the day after that Thursday night if they go up and draft a quarterback in the first round. But do you really believe that quarterback's going to get much playing time, any playing time, in year one, next year? Even though they're going to load up on these players in a year in which they have an opportunity to go out there and get guys that would never be available for that type of discount price, I don't believe that quarterback's going to play.
Lou is asking them to do something that they're incapable of doing. This is why I like the idea. Maybe if a different person was running the show, I'd say you probably got a shot. But history tells us and actually proves to us, which I feel like I just did, that they will not do it. They just don't have it in them.
I don't understand.
Oh, don't blame it on me, Kristen.
I don't understand. I am, you know, if you draft a quarterback and say, no, you can't draft a quarterback because he's not going to help you next year. I don't know. Does the league end after next year?
I think they're continuing on. I just read that.
Okay. So why is next year so important? Like, do we think that they have a chance to win a Super Bowl? And God forbid you draft a quarterback who doesn't play, but is the future? And year two is actually a really good player. Like, you don't want to draft a quarterback in the first round because he won't play next year?
Well, that's not why.
Is it?
You'll draft a quarterback, Lou. Hold the thing. They will draft a quarterback.
Yeah,
they will not draft.
Third round.
Yes, not at 15.
Stidham.
Yeah, they won't.
Good.
Yeah,
no. Wait, it doesn't need to be Stidham. It could be Jimmy Garoppolo. It could be second. It could be a Ryan Mallett as a third.
Awesome.
Well, listen, I'm just saying, like, all these guys. That proof is that out of all those quarterbacks that were drafted, good luck finding one that is legitimately going to be there for 10 years.
So I've seen this thrown around, and I don't know whether Bill set it off the record or whatever, but it's been thrown around that Bill always thought that he could win with any quarterback, right? Ever. And people have used it as a way of him kind of dumping on Tom Brady. I'm not sure that he said exactly that he could win with any quarterback, but any quarterback. I do believe that Bill believes that he's never going to see another quarterback like Tom Brady. And that if he can get a 75% of Tom Brady, that he believes that if he wraps the rest of the team around really good players on both sides of the ball, all three phases of the game, that he can win. I do believe that's probably true.
Win what? Super Bowl?
Win the whole thing, yeah.
Oh.
I do believe that. But again, you're still dealing with 75% of Brady, so you're still dealing with a better quarterback in the league. We're not talking about some stiff out
there. Top 10 quarterback.
He won 7 games with a 32nd rated quarterback in the league this past year. Right?
Yeah, I know, and everybody acts like that's an accomplishment. Like,
and the defense wasn't
seven
that
games.
Good.
Well, because it could have been a lot worse.
And the defense wasn't that good.
It probably should have been a lot worse. But, I mean, we won 7 games. Bill's a great coach. But with Tom Brady, how many games did you win last year? Did we just go over this yesterday?
13.
He says 13. I said two more.
Yeah, two more. I'm going
to Stratomatic.
With the greatest 13. Quarterback of all time, he would have won 9 games. Like
maybe.
I don't know why everybody keeps saying he won 7 games. Like Albert, they won 7 games. They won 7 games. Say that out loud again. The Patriots won 7 games, and we're making it out like it's an accomplishment.
Yeah, but everybody talks about Jacksonville being something special, and they don't win those games. None of these other teams that have the same issues that the Patriots have, they don't go out there and win 7 and lose 9. I mean, we're looking at the Raiders.
A great coach, but he can only do so much.
Agreed.
He can only do so much.
But he might not need a top 5 quarterback to be able to do it. Now, can he use a bottom 10 quarterback to do it? No, he can't, Lou. I agree with that. Here's Phil in up in Maine. Hello, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Hey, Lou, hopefully the lettuce is growing in all right.
Yeah, a little.
He's looking good.
Looks like it's getting better there, Lou.
I faded up the side, so it looks a little bit better.
Yeah, you're not embarrassed by it anymore. You've taken the hat off.
It's all right. We got to cheat a little.
Yeah.
But, guys, let me just get to this real quick. Bill Belichick does not have 2 or 3 more years. Lou, both you and Ordway said that he's not waiting 2 or 3 years because he doesn't have it. Because I tell you, if he has another year like he did last year, his ass should be fired. Period. He is responsible for why these guys are the way they are. His roster management and drafting. We all know that. Now, we do not, and I don't know if you guys feel this the same, I don't think, like Christian was saying, I don't think we have enough assets to move up to get a quarterback that's going to get us to the playoffs this year one if he finds his way into the starting lineup.
He's not playing.
Or next year, I think it's going to be developmental. So we can't go that route if Phil wants to get back to the playoffs immediately. We don't have the assets to do it, so we're basically screwed. And I just cannot underline the fact of how badly Bill Belichick has screwed this up, especially with the fact that you sent Tom Brady, let him go to Tampa Bay, and Bruce Arians, who everybody knows is a decent coach, but he's not on a Bill Belichick level. Well, Tom Brady took that coach and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, in an organization that has sucked for the last dozen years and have been drafting at the top of the draft every year in every round, and so they've been able to load up on players. The one thing they were missing, and we saw it last year, was a quarterback. And Tom Brady not only did that, but he probably added that leadership that maybe Bruce Arians was missing.
See, again, just short-sighted. In my mind, like, we don't have the assets. Of course you do. You have to give up next year's first-round pick.
Yeah, you have the assets.
You have to give up the next year's first-round pick.
Whether you want to give them up or not is another question.
You draft Trey Lance, okay, and he sits for an entire year, and you bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick as your starter. How much worse are you? Well, if you went all in on Mariota and said, he's our guy, and let's draft a great defensive player. So Mariota and the kid Parsons from Penn State, or a future quarterback and Ryan Fitzpatrick. How much worse are you? You're not. You're not. Next year, you'll be just as good. You'll be close to just as good. The only difference is that you've got a kid on the bench that can actually take you to greatness quicker than Mariota, than Winston.
You know, but you're being rational about it, and you know that kid's not going to play. I'm looking up the ages of these kids. 20 and 21 years old. Bill Belichick.
Oh, Herbert looked pretty good last year.
He's not playing a kid 20 or 21 years old. He's just not. And I think Bill's different in the way that the Chargers look at it. Chargers said, screw it. A lot of people thought the Chargers were going to have a better record than they had. Now, granted, they had some key injuries. Here's George in Fall River next up here in EEI.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
So we only have one Tom Brady, one Aaron Rodgers, one really good quarterback every so often. But yet we need people to throw to. You need a defense. You need a whole complete team. And I think that's what Belichick needs to kind of start his rebuild, is a whole team approach and not just a quarterback approach.
I agree, but we also acknowledge the fact that this is going to be a much different year, and we're already hearing it from owners, than we've ever seen in the National Football League before. We're already seeing all the players that are getting cut. There are going to be a lot of good players that are going to sign with teams for a cheap discount price. That is exactly what Bill Belichick thrives in.
Absolutely. So let's get the weapons around someone who can
still need a quarterback, though, George. You still need a quarterback.
You know, Yeah, of course you do. But not everyone's going to be an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady. And that was my point.
Well, we know
it's
that.
Hard
we,
to find that. You know,
yeah, so don't even try.
Even if
I'm
you
with
get
you.
Yeah.
I think we know that, though, that they're not getting – they're not going to see a Tom Brady again ever in this franchise. I mean, if we were to go into a time machine and go 100 years into the future – and ask somebody, they would probably say over the last 100 years, the Patriots have not had a better quarterback in their history than Tom Brady. 100 years from now, he's still the greatest quarterback in their history, and maybe, who knows, the NFL history. But what do they need at quarterback to actually compete and win a Super Bowl? That, I think, is the question. Nobody is sitting there saying they're going to get Tom Brady or they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, are the New England Patriots going to move up in the first round of the draft and get one of the young kids? Apparently there are 5 of them up there that could be pretty good quarterbacks in the National Football League. We have more evidence, guys, that another major media outlet, this is the worldwide leader in ESPN, but another major outlet apparently did not watch New England Patriot games last year. It's funny because there were a few of them on ESPN, were there not? Like the Monday night games or whatever? So here's what they did. They broke down a list of free agents and the key free agent that each team would go out and sign. And so they have the New England Patriots signing quarterback Jameis Winston. There you go, big fella.
Yeah.
Your guy Jameis Winston gets signed. And then they have the New Orleans Saints going out and signing Cam Newton. So they let Jameis Winston go because right now they can sign him. He was their guy. He was in their system last year. He was the tutor. He was learning, right, on the job. It was the prime education. And they're going to let him go, and they're going to sign Cam Newton to work alongside Taysom Hill.
So the Saints are going to bring Cam Newton in as a backup to Taysom Hill.
I don't think they watched him last year.
Because they would want two of the same things, right? Because they would want basically a worse Taysom Hill as quarterback.
The funny thing is, in explaining this sort of flip-flop of quarterbacks, like Winston helps the Patriots rebuild and Cam helps the Saints still be a contender?
Yes.
Is that how they're kind of portraying it?
That's their theory, yes. They do say that the Patriots' best choice would be Dak Prescott. But the chance of him becoming available
is this like imagination land or is this like real
world?
Yeah,
I think it's all imagination. I really believe that that's what we're facing here, guys. That we watched every single play because we're in the marketplace, okay? And they have watched numerous games, probably that Seattle game in which they said, oh my God, Cam was pretty good. Wasn't bad in that game, right? So there's certain games they watched, and so they didn't get a really good picture.
Oh, good luck.
Cam.
I hope they do.
Yeah.
The first day they should go give him a deal.
Yeah, they keep on popping up with the same stuff. Here's Jason in Providence. What do you got, Jason?
Hey, fellas. Hey. I was going to have a Celtics take, but real quick about the Patriot draft. Why can't they take one season and just go all in? If they like a quarterback, why can't they just, all right, we have whatever draft picks available, trade up as far as we can, and just get a quarterback? What are they going to lose?
What do you mean 1 year go all in? I don't get that. You're going to go and get a young kid for 1 year all in? That kid is a project. Because that kid's not going to do anything for you next year.
But what did Cam do for us last year? What I'm saying is if you identify a guy that you really like, why can't you just do whatever you can to move up to get him?
Thank you. I'm with you, Jason.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, can I go to my Celtics?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. We'll just do whatever. Go ahead.
All right.
Tatum, Brown, why does anybody want to trade them?
Nobody
does. We have two homegrown all-stars, right? If you look around the league, 25 and under, there are about 20 guys.
Nobody wants to trade them. I don't understand your premise.
No, I listen every day. I hear somebody saying, "Oh, we want to trade Brown. We got to try to make a move." It goes back and forth all the time.
Well, let me say this.
Callers to you,
Jason. I think it's more of looking forward, saying, "Will there be a day when they actually move on from these two guys?" You know, we talked about Vucevic the other day. It's like, well, because maybe the two of them just don't fit. Maybe they just don't fit together.
But this is what I want to get to. This is why I want to get to Brad Stevens, and I hate to be this guy. I just want a pro coach. He's got us this far. Why does he just get to stay and just stay? Oh, because he's been to the Eastern Conference Finals. Got it. Why can't we get a pro guy, bring in some more veterans, which I'm traded Danny. I don't like the bench. Just why? It's not like a pro team, it looks to me. I like what Brad Stevens done. He got him this far. I want a pro coach who's been around the NBA.
That's not an answer.
Okay. First
you can't sit there and say, let's get rid of Brad Stevens and bring in anybody.
You can't
say ridiculous.
Who either.
Who? Give me a pro coach.
I'll give you an example.
Give me a pro
coach. I don't even want one of the OGs. I want somebody who's been under one of the OGs. I don't know all the assistant coaches.
Okay, well, that doesn't work. You can't sit there and say, I want Brad Stevens out of here, and then anybody. Pick anybody. All right, Christian Fourier.
I hate that argument, who? Like, who's better? Like, I'm just saying, like, who? I don't know. It's not my job. Danny, you go find him. And I agree with this guy, by the way, because what do you think happened at Toronto? You know, when they had Casey up there. Were they not successful?
And then they had a
Were they not doing what what Stevens is doing, taking them to finals or playoffs, and they just can't win? And then they said, fire Dwayne Casey. Well, who? Now you go find somebody, and you bring in Nick Nurse, and you win a championship. So I'm just saying, like, there's always somebody.
Had a top five player.
There's always somebody. The bottom line is they had a coach that only took him so far, and Toronto said, you're out of here. He won coach of the year he got fired because they thought he could only take him so far. And maybe Brad Stevens is in that same position.
Again, Lou, I would say this. Coaches in the NBA are vastly overrated. For an example, Steve Nash has coached now, 20-some-odd games in his life? Does anybody think he's a great coach? Watch his team. No matter who plays that night, they still go out and win, and they play great. Does anybody think that's all Steve Nash? I don't. I think it's all about the players.
I've heard this before. You know, Claude Julien. Oh, who? You got to give me a name. I don't know. But aren't you happy right now with Bruce Cassidy? Aren't you happy? It's just Doc Rivers. You want Doc Rivers? Who? And they brought in Wonder Boy, who everybody loves. So there's always somebody that can either motivate, maybe, I don't know, maybe you get to a team at a certain point and they have different philosophies that can maybe help a team take it to another level. I don't like the, you can't tell me to fire this guy unless you come up with another name.
Well, I'm not saying that.
There's names everywhere.
I'm not saying that. And I have great questions about Brad Stevens. Yeah. I do. I have great questions about him. All I'm saying is that right now the roster is not good enough for anybody to sit there and say that Brad Stevens is the problem, that this team right now is not competing with Philadelphia and with Brooklyn. Mm. It isn't.
Ooh, Paul's got a question. I've got a question on the Revolution. Go ahead.
Paul's up next. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning. Oh, good morning. Good afternoon, guys.
Wow, good morning. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's been a long day. Hey, I just had two questions. One, do you guys think any possibility Newton can be fixed?
No.
It's his mechanics that suck.
No.
And Von Miller changed his life that Super Bowl. And is Von Miller a free agent?
Yes.
Can we talk about defense for a minute?
He is.
Von Miller falls in the category of
you're not good
older
enough to get him.
Veteran who won't be moderately priced. His name recognition carries too much money, in my opinion.
Yeah, he just changed Newton's career. That's
based
Bowl.
On what the fact that
he hasn't been the same
him.
Since.
Well, I don't know if I'd say
just
I'd,
everywhere. Every time he turned around, he was next to him. You know,
I think his shoulder injury has something to do with that more than Von Miller in one game. But okay,
yeah, maybe.
I just wondered if you're thinking outside the box.
Fixed.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Couldn't he? The guy fix Josh
how,
Allen?
How are you going to fix him, Paul?
He has to get the strength back in the arm. If it's not there, then he's done. If it is, then maybe his accuracy can be improved. Maybe his field presence can be improved just as far as
reading
defenses. Because he stands out there sometimes and he's like, you know what I mean? He's playing soccer.
I don't see it happening, to be honest with you. There's a big difference between a rookie, second-year player, and turning him into a good third-year player. They're looking at Cam 9 years into it with shoulder problems and saying, we can fix him. Let somebody else try to fix him.
Shouldn't we ask a doctor? Because a doctor might be able to give us a better answer than anybody in football right now. Here's Chris next up on OMF.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, so, yeah, I'm with Lou. Like, I want to get up in the top 10, and I want to get our guy. But what I think is going to happen is what Christian's saying. Honestly, I think it's disappointing because every NFL draft is my favorite time of the year. I get excited. I'm ordering pizza. I'm sitting down Thursday night, and I'm like, all right, I'm thinking about all the things that the Patriots can do. By the end of the night, I'm shaking my head. I'm disappointed, and I'm like, what is he doing? And I honestly don't see why that should be any different this year.
Probably won't
I
be.
I want Lance, Fields, I mean, for God's sakes, not Mac Jones, but Lance, Fields, Wilson, one of those guys, that would make me happy. I'm like, all right, we got it 2, 3, 4 years down the road. You can bring in a veteran, stop gap, you know, until he's ready, and then just go from there. But for some reason, I think that we're going to end up, like Glenn said,
Chris,
Jimmy G.
Well, I will tell you that you will be prepared to be disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Like, listen, I like you, Chris. Hey, how's it in
Texas?
You
seem like a decent guy. Yeah, I know.
I mean, this is what you're getting used to. Just get used to it, you know? You have a better chance.
I'm 29, so I'm a spoiled Pats fan, right? And I can admit that, no problem. But come on. I mean, 6 or 7 years of drafts where I'm just sitting there like, why are you doing this? And over the last 6 or 7 years, I mean, it hasn't been very good. So I just, this is the year I think we've all talked about how they've got the cap space, they've got the draft capital, that they can do something. And I really don't know why we should expect anything different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unfortunately, you might be right, but it'll be a mistake. Yeah, it'll be a mistake.
Caller.
I think people are looking at the five guys that everybody keeps on talking about. We don't even know one or two of those guys. Who knows? Maybe they are available when the Patriots draft at 15. And maybe that's the bigger question. If one of those guys falls down to 15 or two of them fall down to 15, will the Patriots then exercise the and take one of those quarterbacks low? Because if they don't at that point, I think you're going to be right. I think the next day people are going to be calling up and they're going to be pissed. And then they end up drafting a cornerback or something like that. And people are going to be going, what the bleep is going on here?
I just don't think I'm afraid that Bill doesn't value the position because he hasn't really had to. I think that he underappreciates what a great quarterback does for your football team. And I think if he runs the ball and plays defense, he can win games. And if he keeps the game close in the fourth, he'll outcoach the other coach. He'll win a lot of games. Get me to the postseason, anything can happen. And I think with that attitude, you will never see a Super Bowl for a long, long time.
Ooh.
You'll never go back.
We're never going to see your parents
scaring
again.
Us now.
You'll never go back. You won't see an AFC title game.
Yeah,
you'll be the fraud every year in the postseason at 10-6.
I don't think it's a matter of not valuing the quarterback position. I think it's that he has no trust in handing over the
keys. Move your hand like, I want you to move your hand like this. And when you say that again, you'll never.
He has no trust in handing over the keys.
Never see the Super Bowl again.
To a young quarterback, nice. he can't, he won't do it. He just won't. Matter of fact, if you look at it, he's got a great track record. He's got a great track record against these young quarterbacks.
He did
because he probably thinks it's the easiest thing for an opposing coach to do.
He did it with Brady and he won a Super Bowl.
But Brady in the first couple of years didn't really he had the keys, but he really wasn't driving. It was like it was on automatic. Part of it was on automatic pilot. He wasn't, you know, entirely in control.
But that first year, what happened?
The car.
He gave the keys to him.
Second year,
he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the end, but part of that was Drew Bledsoe as well. Jack Edwards is going to join us coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll get into the Bruins because we keep on talking about the Celtics trying to make trades. What the hell are the Bruins going to do? We're going to get into that. And talking about personnel, the Red Sox will start their season here in a few weeks. You've seen a little bit of what they've got to this point. Which player can the Sox not afford to have a bad season? We'll get to it and more of your phone calls right here on Friday edition of OMF.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF. You probably already noticed it. Lou Merlone is out there now with social media, videos, and all sorts of stuff. You know why? Because we're close to starting the baseball season. And I don't know if you know, but he played for the Red Sox at one point. So let's talk
There's an article about him, too.
Yeah, I saw it.
You want to read it?
Let's talk a little bit about the Red Sox.
I just randomly pulled up this article about myself.
My name, I typed in a pizza, and here came an article about Lou Merlone. Crazy.
So we throw out the question weeks before the season begins, because some people think they could be better than advertised, and that is which player can the Red Sox not afford to have a bad season? So I'll start with this because I think this team is going to hit pretty well. I'm not worried about that. J.D. Martinez is going to have a bounce-back season. I'm convinced of that. I know that Chris Sale is going to miss the first half of the season. And I know that Nathan Eovaldi always does miss some time anyway. So to me, the guy they cannot afford to have a bad season, and I think it's a huge question mark, and that's Eduardo Rodriguez. He missed all of last season. He's coming back from a heart situation that was picked up through contracting COVID. So to me, it's a huge question, but he's your ace, really, through most of this season until Sale comes back. Can he come back and be the ace on this staff? I think he has to be.
Well, yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I would agree. He can't afford it, so I think you almost have to bank on him. Because I think he could have a good year, and if you know, doesn't mean anything, right? I mean, the others kind of suck and struggle and get hurt. I look at a guy like Garrett Richards, Mercy Rule Garrett. You know, the guy that got the little Mercy Rule piece in that first outing. He's a separator. You know, the upside with that kid, what he can be a legit, you know, number two behind E-Rod. And that can really make your staff look completely different than what you think. You know, Perez is really a fourth or fifth starter. Evaldi's another guy, but I just think we know too much about him. Richards, to me, like E-Rod, I'm counting on. But Richards, to me, is a difference maker. If that guy can get any kind of form he was years ago, now you're talking differently.
I feel like we're all taking pitchers because nobody's going to take Verdugo. No one's going to take J.D. Martinez.
Because it's all about pitching, right, for them kind of.
Well, no, I know, but
don't you think they're going to score enough runs?
I know,
runs?
But
I don't think that's
like,
going to be
so,
a major
so then
issue.
The other conversation, I mean, the conversation, I won't go to it now, but is like, okay, can J.D. Martinez, can he really deal, could he, do his job without video and everything that he had that 1 year?
Mm-hmm. I go, he's going to be better than 213.
I go Nathan Eovaldi. I go Nathan Eovaldi, and we're all taking pictures because, I don't know, this guy's just, it's weird with him, right? So he has an unbelievable 2018, has a great World Series. Everybody's crying for him. 2019 gets a big contract, plays like crap. 2020 plays like crap. And you sit there and go, wow, if this guy could be consistent and give you what, 200 innings?
Oh, good God. Yeah.
If he could give you 200 innings,
yeah,
I mean, I guess all I would want from him, and I think it's possible, and I'm not going to use the it's due because I feel like he is due. And sometimes with athletes, they go through a 2-year stint of just where they just can't catch up and they can't get right. And then they have a long off season with a bunch of new changes in their life, even with the organization, and they end up being consistent. To me, if he can just be consistent, you're going to be better than just okay. If E-Rod plays well.
Well, see, this is why I think they're actually going to be pretty good, because you mentioned it, Eovaldi. I don't have much confidence he's going to give you.
I don't think anyone does.
Right. But there's upside, right? And I think the guy Garrett Richards, I think, could be a huge difference maker. I actually think I like their fifth, sixth, and seventh starters better than Martin Perez, like Pavetta, Hauk, and the kid Seabold who we saw.
Maybe.
So there's a lot of upside. There's no upside with Ryan Weber.
So can I bring something up to you?
Let me
bring something up to you, because you mentioned E-Rod. You're talking about all these guys, and a lot of them are going to come up due. They're going to need to sign some new contracts. Talk about, obviously, Evaldi's contract. You know who I think the most interesting man in Boston is now? Because remember when we were doing it, it used to be, it was like Cam Newton was the most popular figure.
Yeah.
Okay, even though he hadn't played a down yet. The most interesting man, in my opinion, in Boston is Chaim Bloom.
See, right.
Chaim Bloom is the most interesting man in Boston.
Deep in
he
the
is.
Throat.
Think
Chaim.
About, okay, so I just think about, to me, it's he feels like a country mouse in the city. Here comes this guy. Coming from Tampa, born and bred a certain way, like to not spend money, to be a penny pincher, to get as much out of a dollar as you can. I mean, I love my father-in-law. God bless him. He's not cheap. He's just real frugal. Like he really values the dollar, so he never overpays. And if he can find a better deal someplace else and get the same thing out of it, he waits and he's patient and he never ever overpays for anything. That is inherent in him, Lou. And I feel like that's the same way with Chaim Bloom. He'll get all these low-priced players, and you'll probably field a good team. Hell, you might even win a playoff game. But eventually, he's going to be forced to spend some money, and I don't think he's going to be able to do it just because that's not who he is. So he's interesting to me because he's finally going to be given the keys to the castle, a beautiful, and he's not going to want to open it. He's like, I'm good with my little house over here. I'm comfortable. I know how it works here.
It'll be interesting. We were talking about it before. So E-Rod's throwing today, right? Like he threw today through 2 2/3, actually. I think he threw like 45 pitches. So he's the kind of a guy you look at and you say, okay, what are they going to do with him, right? He's a free agent. Had a really good year last year. What kind of extension? He's talking about possibly, some extensions that Chaim Bloom could give out this year. Well, this guy right now is in line for an extension. Last time you saw him, he was 19-6 with a 3.81 ERA, 34 starts. He had a 3.82 ERA the year before. Pretty consistent.
Yep.
27 years old. He's a free agent next year. There has to be an extension. So a guy like Zach Wheeler is pretty much the comp. 5 years, 118. 23 a year for 5 years for E-Rod. And people, for some reason, are like, no. You don't do that with him. Well, I mean, he's giving you 30-something starts with a 2.38 the last 2 years, just like Wheeler. That's the market. Sorry. But to your point, I will be curious to see how this guy deals with it. Because in his mindset, you know what he's thinking? All right, the deadline, we trade E-Rod, and we get a big pitching prospect, and he'll be ready for us for the next 5 or 6 years, and this is what we're going to do, and this guy's up, and this guy. And the Red Sox are like, whoa. No. We made you do that thing with Mookie, but that's not how we work. I want you to work out a deal for E-Rod, but keep me here for 5 years. Yeah, he's 28 years old.
But I don't know how to do that. That's not what I do.
Yeah.
I'm used to saving money.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he has it in him.
And as far as all the other GMs that are in the city, I mean, I feel like he has the biggest adjustment to make as far as just how he came up, his philosophy, what he's used to doing. what they want him to do now, and how, to your point, how it's eventually going to change, and is he going to be able to do it? Is he going to sit there and say, we don't need him? We don't need him. Use an example of the Dodgers.
Andrew Friedman. You know, and this guy built the...
Worked for him. He worked for
He built the dream. I mean, I think maybe the best like front office hiring in all of sports. Yes. What Andrew Friedman did out there in L.A. When he showed up in L.A., they had a $300 million payroll. And they took everything, all your crap, right? They took Beckett. They took Crawford. They took Gonzalez, all that stuff. They still had guys like Matt Kemp. You know, they traded for Greinke. Their salary was ridiculous, and they just weren't good enough. So we stripped it. And for 2 or 3 years, he was just under that luxury tax. They're going to World Series. They're losing, back-to-back World Series. Then they get bounced in the first round, and it was like, but they're under the luxury tax. Well, that's good. Good for you, Andrew. You know, you've acquired a dream team of minor league players, a young, great system, great first, second, third, fourth year players. That's awesome. And you compete every single year, but you haven't won anything. We finally won when he did what? He traded for Mookie, and he traded for David Price.
And that feels so good.
And they win a World Series. Now he's signing Bauer. So did he have to be pushed into it? Because for years he could sit there and say, I know Mookie is out there, but the way I think and the way I compare players, there's a guy out there half his price that can give me just a little bit less production. But the way I need to be, because that's the way I've always been.
But I believe the Dodgers hired him specifically for that reason, and that we need you to develop the organization.
Sound familiar?
Yep. And then when we get a chance, after we organize and get built in young talent, promising talent, then we can fill in the spaces using our money because we're a big market team. And I think that John Henry did the exact same thing in hiring Chaim Bloom. He looked at the Dodgers and said, let's do the same thing, same blueprint. I disagree with you, Christian, about him, Chaim Bloom, being the most interesting man in the city of Boston when we're comparing him to Cam Newton. Everybody was talking about Cam. Nobody's talking about Chaim Bloom. Now, 2 years from now, he may be the most interesting man in Boston because that's when his time is going to
come. No, it was different. I said similar to what Cam Newton was the most popular, even though he hasn't played.
Chaim
Bloom is interesting, and nobody is talking about him.
Yes, yeah,
and he's interesting, but for a second, because
behind the scenes.
You mentioned, because, okay, so the Red Sox, so you mentioned the Dodgers. So the Dodgers end up, they lose to Houston, they lose to the Red Sox. And you're telling me, what was the biggest difference between when they lost to the Red Sox and when they won the World Series the very next year? Mookie Betts was the only difference?
Oh, a big part. I mean, guys got better.
I mean, yeah, but guys, Kershaw finally won.
Kershaw finally
started pitching. So I would say, if I'm Chaim Bloom, I'm probably talking to Friedman and say, and maybe Friedman says, you know what, we got Mookie because, you know, we just felt like we had to do something. It's been 2 years in
three
a row.
Years, 3 years straight. But, best team in baseball can't win a World Series.
But if this guy would have played better, he played below what we thought he was going to do. This guy didn't play better. So I actually was right, Chaim. My philosophy, the way we came up, that's the way to do it. Now, I eventually had to do something because the third time had to be the charm.
No, see, I keep saying that you have an ownership that wants to spend. They've already shown that they're willing to spend. And you got a GM that I think is excited that, oh, my God, I don't have to shop in this bin anymore or fish in this lake. I can go after other guys. But will it always be ingrained in him and saying, yeah, we can get this pitcher for you, Gerrit Cole. You know, this guy's there. Let's go. 7 years, $210 million. Yeah. Okay. So we could go 4 years, 80, because really when you dive into the numbers and if there's a little tweak, if we could change his repertoire, I'm into these analytics. I got video on him. We can turn him into Gerrit Cole. And not give out 7-2-10 and go 4-80.
See,
like, you know, that's,
I don't think the organization.
I don't know where.
Yeah, I hear you, Lou. I don't think the organization is going to allow it. I think when you look at Tampa Bay and Friedman working down there, and Chaim Bloom and others working down there, they were really restrictive in what they could do. They never had the opportunity to go and put that money out there. What you get with the Dodgers and what you get with the Red Sox is you can go through the personnel and build this great young talent, and then we'll feed the money to get those extra players. I don't see how you would go to the Red Sox or go to the Dodgers and continue to be restrictive and say, oh, Daddy won't let me spend. I really can't spend. All I can do
No, Daddy will let you spend, but you're just not used. You rather pocket it. You rather save it.
Boy, that would
you
be
rather
dumb.
Because you don't know dumb. Any better. But and listen, you're winning.
You're not getting that money. That money's going back to John Henry and the ownership.
Yeah,
you're
but I'm it's almost like I'm a banker. I'm just used to saving money.
Boy, that would be a dumb way of doing it.
No, and it's not even. It's not. I'm not even talking about like no great players available. No, we don't need it. We don't need it. It's such a deep dive into analytics. Such a deep dive into like evaluating talent. That he could show you that the $35 million pitcher isn't really that much different than the $20 million pitcher. And by signing the $20 million, we can then go and get this guy and that guy and this guy. I'm just saying, like, how deep will he dive into it? You know, and listen, it's still up there. Because I can guarantee you, he's sitting there thinking Erod's in his final year of his deal. He's $9 million. And if he pitches well this year, just automatic, autopilot.
Trade.
We got to move him at the deadline. We got to get what he can. And then he's like, hold on. I'm not in Tampa anymore. So we can re-sign him. Okay. But, you know, I've seen it work, man. I'm telling you. You know what we got Glass now? You know what we did with Archer? We got Glass now.
Yep.
We got,
so
oh,
those,
my God.
Yep. That so is
those analytics. Point. Those analytics probably make some sense when you're gauging it over a 162-game season. And he may be right on that. Okay? Here's the difference. That $35 million pitcher, when you're playing in a seven-game series and everything is on the line for winning the World Series, that's where they pay off, Lou. That's where that $35 million pitcher is a little bit different than the guy at $20 million.
Tampa's philosophy, their way of doing business, worked last year. Their flaw was not in how they built the team. It was how they managed the team.
Yeah, but
it's their
spend.
In-game management, their in-game situation. That's what killed them.
Oh, that one game. At the,
yes.
Yeah.
That, it wasn't their philosophy. It was, well, you know, let's pull them. Like, because they relied on it so much, and they forgot to just kind of, you know, trust their eyes and just go with their gut.
Yeah, it's just, no. When
that's
do
my
you,
thing.
Yeah, no, does he know when to dive in and get that guy? Because I want him to do what he did in Tampa. The only difference is that to imagine the Tampa Bay Rays having the money to go sign Gerrit Cole in the offseason, put him on top of that rotation. Or imagine the Tampa Bay Rays in on J.D. Martinez and in on Xander Bogaerts and put them 3-4 in your lineup. Now, you've got all the depth. You've got all the fringe. You've got all of it. You've got a great bullpen. But now you're in Boston. Now you can sign an ace and you can sign a 3-4 hitter. Like, now go do it. Do everything you were doing before, but go do it. And I don't know. We'll have to wait and see because Devers is another one. Devers is coming up as well. Erod is coming up as well. And everybody wants – and you know what? Bogaerts is only a couple years away. Their payroll could skyrocket, but it might be to, you know, re-sign Erod, re-sign Devers.
Yeah, see, so,
and they
so
still got to go
so
beyond.
Last what happened in Tampa Bay was that if you had one of those guys, you couldn't – you didn't have the money to go out and pay them.
Right.
So the only alternative you had, Lou, was trade them away to the Mets, see if you can get a first-round draft pick, and you start all over again. With the Red Sox, he probably goes in there and says, okay, what are our options here with Rafael Devers?
No, I get it, but in the middle of that conversation, does he sit there and go, you know, we had Archer. You guys know about the Archer trade, right? Like, we traded Archer, and because he was so good and where he was and the team really needed him was desperate, we got Tyler Glasnow and Austin Meadows. Like, so yeah, I understand we could give this guy 5-110, but man, I could turn him into Meadows and Glass.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Cornerstone like, pieces. For
yeah,
his
it's
team.
Just like ingrained in his mind. And I think, you know, there'd be times where maybe you want to do that, but there's other times you sit there and say, no,
okay.
We're the Red Sox. We don't have to do this. Let's re-sign him.
So I'll give you the answer to that because I think that you're right. I think you got to worry about him having that thought process, and here's the answer. Chaim.
Slap it out of him?
How many championships, World Series championships, have the Tampa Bay Rays won? How about the Devil Rays before that? Okay? How many? And the reason they don't win is not because the organization isn't good. I think it's been the best organization in baseball over the last 15 to 20 years. The reason they don't win, they don't have the money to fill
see,
in and
I,
get
I,
those
I would,
players
why
that
do you
put you
why
over
do you think
the top.
They, why do you think Tampa lost to the Dodgers in this last World Series? Why do you think they lost that World Series?
The Dodgers are just too good, too much in their lineup. They didn't
money.
Have the lineup.
Yeah,
they didn't have the lineup. They won with outstanding starting pitching, bullpen, timely hitting. No, nobody in that lineup's going to blow you away, but their pitching and bullpen was so damn good, they stayed in it. And you looked at that Tampa Bay lineup and you said, I don't want that team. I don't want that lineup on my team. Like, I'd throw up my mouth if that was my lineup. But they're all okay, you know, and they just finally caught into a team who could match their pitching and whose lineup was through the roof.
But just
they could match their pitching.
What that lineup would look like you said, if they had a J.D. Martinez, if they could get a Xander Bogaerts, that World Series almost kind of set it up like what the Red Sox could look like in the next 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah. Listen, I would say this, Christian, because I disagree about the interesting.
You don't think Chaim Bloom is the country mouse from the big city?
No, I think Belichick right now and Danny Ainge are far more interesting.
Oh God, no!
They're on the hot seat right now of having to do stuff.
But the problem is Danny Ainge has been here forever. Bill has been here forever.
Well, it's
fresh.
He's
the new kid on the block.
Okay,
you know nothing about him.
Interesting.
He has a more difficult challenge than you do.
I would say this. The only thing I hear about Chaim Bloom right now is the idiots who are knocking him, saying they got to get rid of Chaim Bloom. He's not getting the job
done. Never heard those idiots.
That's not what he's doing.
I've never heard anyone say get rid of Chaim Bloom.
To Christian's point,
nobody is saying that.
He's not the most popular guy. But there is intrigue because you don't know him. And every move he has made has been under a radar.
That's like, different the than interesting. He's intriguing.
Different words. But I'm just saying, like, people are like, this guy's supposed to be this guy, the wheel and deal. I haven't seen him do anything. Well, that's because you don't know. You know, if you read up on some of these guys that he's actually made moves, you know, he traded guys that have zero future with the Boston Red Sox and acquired some serious players. So everything's been so under the radar, other than trading Mookie, that you don't quite know what his next move is. You don't know what he's thinking. You don't know where he's going next. And I think that makes it very intriguing. You want to call it interesting? Whatever.
Because of what he's doing, unlike Dave Dombrowski that was giving up this talent and getting instant talent, he can't be judged right now. He has to be judged 2 years down the road. That's when I think he becomes interesting and he becomes fascinating to see exactly what he does with all
of this. I think it's more interesting watching the sausage be made. That's all.
I just looked up synonyms for interesting, and there it is, intriguing. Oh, my God.
Look at that.
It's the same damn word.
Yeah. Well, you were comparing him to Cam
Newton. Don't use Cam Newton.
That was your comparison. You
said not to say they're not the same. Similar as far as popularity.
Why are you taking the headphones off? Your ears hurting you? You have a problem? You want to talk some hockey, big fella?
Let's talk some hockey.
I got some hockey for you. The Bruins are the Capitals tonight. I wonder if Ovechkin is going to, you know, snap the stick.
Drop the gloves tonight. Yep. Drop the gloves.
We'll find out with our buddy Jack Edwards. He joins us coming up next.